You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham. There was a time in the U.S. that we were considered an agricultural nation. These days, most people are a generation or two or three off the farm. Fewer than 2% of Americans live on farms, and often Americans don't understand where their food comes from, how it's grown, or how it's processed. A new effort at Michigan State University is trying to change that. The College of Agriculture and Natural Resources is leading an initiative called Food at MSU. Cheryl Kirschenbaum is a fellow with Food at MSU and joins us now. You were co-author of a recent article in The Conversation titled Americans Are Confused About Food and Unsure Where to Turn for Answers, Survey Shows. That runs counter to what people say. So tell me about that survey. How large, how representative was the sample?
Well, we were interested to figure out what Americans know about food because we're absolutely a nation of foodies and we're taking pictures of our food and we're excited to share recipes on social media. But when it comes to answers about everything from sustainability to health and nutrition, it's not clear who the experts are or what the best science is. And so we ran this nationally representative survey based on U.S. Census demographics. We surveyed over 1,000 Americans. And what we found was that there's a lot of misinformation and probably pseudoscience out there. And hopefully there's a lot we can do to fill that void, that gap.
Give me a couple of examples about misperceptions about food.
Sure. Well, one of the things that really surprised us had to do with genetically modified foods. We asked respondents to say true or false to whether or not non-GMO foods had genes in them. And 37% of Americans thought that non-GMO foods did not have genes in them. And that just is an example of kind of a science literacy challenge, right? Because we have these conversations at this high level, maybe policy level, about labeling. And when you figure out what people even understand about what a GMO is and how it might impact their lives or their health or their family, there seems to be a real lack of understanding.
And just for the record, we have genes, cows have genes, green beans have genes, all the plants
have
genes.
We all have
genes. Yeah. Let's talk a little more about genetically modified crops. The Europeans often call them frankenfoods. Generally speaking, U.S. consumers are suspicious of GMO foods and will avoid them if they are aware of them. What do people know about GMO?
It's a very complex topic, and unfortunately, with complexity comes a lot of nuance, and it's extremely difficult to boil down to a few talking points. So on GMOs, you have everyone from consumer groups to the science community at universities, government scientists, to kind of special interest-driven messaging that's hopping up on our Facebook feeds and our Instagram. And they're all telling us different information about what it means. We've been using different forms of transgenic crops, as we'll call them, for a very long time. But the technology is changing very quickly. And as a result, there's kind of this lag in public understanding of what a GMO actually means.
And recently, more and more scientists have been saying it's perfectly safe. However, some of these GMO crops have environmental impacts. In fact, all farming has some kind of environmental impact. What do people know about that?
Exactly. I mean, that's a big part of the challenge, right? Because there's not one catch-all basket for what a GMO is, who's producing it, how it's used. So you have products like golden rice. A lot of people, when they think about genetically modified foods, they think, oh, okay, pesticide resistance, Roundup Ready crops. GMOs can also do things like provide nutrition in certain foods in places, especially in the developing world, where children, you know, aren't getting access to certain vitamins and minerals that they need to be able to see and to be healthy and survive. GMOs can also be, aside from being fortified to make vitamins and other things, they can also be drought resistant or flood resistant. I mean, we're absolutely going to be experiencing more floods and droughts in a changing planet due to climate change. So there's many ways that GMOs can help us become more resilient to the challenges that we face.
Well, there's this idea that farmers and science and technology will make up for any food security challenges, such as a rapidly growing global population or climate change. How realistic is it that the science and technology will outpace food shortages?
Well, again, it's a complex question. So, you know, famines exist now, but that's been largely due to distributional shortcomings, thanks to the Green Revolution, but that's only going to carry us so far. So as we see the global population climb to 9 billion in 2050 and more, it won't be a distributional challenge anymore. It'll more be, can we produce enough food in the face of less land for agriculture, less water? And GMOs are certainly part of that solution. I think that there's a lot of things that we can do to prepare, and transgenic crops, transgenic agriculture, as we call it, is already really a big part of that right now. We just don't always recognize that it's already taking place.
You intend to conduct this survey annually. What's the goal of that?
Michigan State University's Food Literacy and Engagement Index is meant to be a kind of baseline for where public understanding and attitudes are related to food. So while we ask about, you know, knowledge about GMOs, we also ask about people's general food access or their preference for organic foods, whether or not they'd be willing to spend a little more money if something could help the environment. So we ask a number of questions, and then we can break down all the data by demographic. We see differences between men and women, differences between different age groups. And ideally, if we continue this survey every year, we'll be able to track how and whether attitudes are changing. I mean, I don't expect we'll see a market shift by the time we do this next year, but possibly over time, we'll get a sense of whether, you know, GMOs are being more widely accepted in their adoption, if understanding about terms like organic may be changing. And it also, with regard to what we're doing here at Michigan State, because this is part of a new initiative called Food at MSU, we really want to have a broader conversation about food. So what we're learning from the survey is going to guide these roundtable discussions that we'll be having in communities across Michigan and ideally beyond Michigan in a few years about a wide range of food topics.
Cheryl Kirschenbaum is with Food at MSU, and along with Douglas Bueller, she is the co-author of an article in The Conversation titled Americans Are Confused About Food and Unsure Where to Turn for Answers. You can find it at theconversation.com. Hey, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you so much.